Srimad Bhagavatam, 6th canto, 1st chapter, the history of the life of Ajāgya, text number 49. These are the Yamadutas speaking now, telling the Vishnudutas their world outlook based on their job description and being the followers, as explained in the previous verse, of Yamaraj. So they're continuing in this.
Yata
Ashnaha
Tamasa
Yukta Upasate
Vyaktam
Eva
Hi
Naveda
Purvam
Aparam
Nashta
Janmasmritihi
Tata
Yathasnastamasayukta Upasate Vyaktam Evahi Naveda Purvam Aparam Nashta janma smitistata Yata ajnastamasa yukta Upasate vyaktam evahi Naveda purvam aparam Nashta janma smitistata Yukta Upasate Vyaktam Evahi Naveda Purvam Aparam Nasta Janma Smististata Yatajnastamasa Yukta Upasate Vyaktamevahi Naveda Purvam Aparam Nashta Janma Smritistata Yatajnastamasa Yukta Upasate Vyaktamevahi Naveda Purvam Aparam Nashta Janma Smritistata Yatajnastam Sayukta Upasate Vyaktam Evahi Naveda Purvam Aparam Nashta Janma Smritistata Yata,
just as
Ajnaha, an ignorant living being,
Tamasa,
in sleep,
Yuktaha,
engaged,
Upasate,
acts according to,
Vyaktam,
a body manifested in a dream.
Eva,
certainly.
He indeed.
Naveda
does not know.
Purvam,
the past body.
Aparam,
the next body.
Nashta,
lost.
Janmasmritihi,
the remembrance of birth.
Tata,
similarly.
Translation, as a sleeping person, acts according to the body manifested in his dreams and accepts it to be himself, so one identifies with his present body, which he acquired because of his past religious or irreligious actions, and is unable to know his past or future lives. Srila Prabhupada's report. A man is engaged in sinful activities because he does not know what he did in his past life to get his present materially conditioned body. He's subjected to the threefold miseries. As stated by Rishabhadev in Srimad Bhagavatam 5.5.4, Nunam Pranittaha Kurute Vikarma. A human being who is mad after sense gratification does not hesitate to act sinfully. Yad Indriya Prittaya Aprinoti. He performs sinful actions simply for sense gratification. Nasadu Manye. This is not good. Yata Atmanoyam Asan Api Kleshada Asdeha. Because of such sinful actions, one receives another body in which to suffer, as he's suffering in his present body because of his past sinful activities. It should be understood that a person who does not have Vedic knowledge always acts in ignorance of what he has done in the past, what he is doing at the present, and how he will suffer in the future. He is completely in darkness. Therefore, the Vedic injunction is, Tamasi Ma, don't remain in darkness, Jyotirgama, try to go to the light. The light, or illumination, is Vedic knowledge, which one can understand when he is elevated to the mode of goodness, or when he transcends the mode of goodness by engaging in devotional service to the spiritual master and the Supreme Lord. This is described in the Svetashvatara Upanishad 6.23, Yasya Deve Para Bhaktir Yatta Deve Tata Gurau Tashyaite Katita Hiyarta Prakashante Mahatmanaha. Unto those great souls who have implicit faith in both the Lord and the spiritual master, all the imports of Vedic knowledge are automatically revealed. The Vedas enjoin tad-vijnan-artham sa gurum eva bigacchet. One must approach a spiritual master who has full knowledge of the Vedas and be faithfully directed by him in order to become a devotee of the Lord. Then the knowledge of the Vedas will be revealed. When the Vedic knowledge is revealed, one need no longer remain in the darkness of material nature. According to his association with the material modes of nature, goodness, passion, and ignorance, a living entity gets a particular type of body. The example of one who associates with the mode of goodness is a qualified Brahmana. Such a Brahmana knows past, present, and future, because he consults the Vedic literature and sees through the eyes of Shastra, Shastra Chakshusha. He can understand what his past life was, why he is in the present body, and how he can obtain liberation from the clutches of Maya and not accept another material body. This is all possible when one is situated in the mode of goodness. Generally, however, the living entities are engrossed in the modes of passion and ignorance. In any case, one receives an inferior or superior body at the discretion of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Paramatma. As stated in the previous verse, Manasaiva Pure Devaha Pura Rupam Vipashyati Anomi Mam Shate Purvam Manasa Bhagavan Ajaha. Everything depends upon Bhagavan or Ajaha, the unborn. Why doesn't one please Bhagavan to receive a better body? The answer is Ashnas Tamasa, because of gross ignorance. There's today's verse. One who is in complete darkness cannot know what his past life was or what his next life will be. He is simply interested in the present body. Even though he has a human body, a person in the mode of ignorance, and interested only in his present body, is like an animal, for an animal, being covered by ignorance, thinks that the ultimate goal of life and happiness is to eat as much as possible. A human being must be educated to understand his past life and how he can endeavor for a better life in the future. There is even a book called Bhrigu Samhita, which reveals information about one's past, present, and future lives according to astrological calculations. Somehow or other, one must be enlightened about his past, present, and future. One who is interested only in his present body and who tries to enjoy his senses to the fullest extent is understood to be engrossed in the mode of ignorance. His future is very, very dark. Indeed, the future is always dark for one who is grossly covered by ignorance. Especially in this age, human society is covered by the mold of ignorance, and therefore everyone thinks his present body to be everything without any consideration of the past or future. Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prestaya Bhutale Simati Bhakti Vedanta Swami Nityananda Namaste Sarasate Deve Gauravari Pacharani Divishesha Sudhavari Paschachate Satarani Om Mangyanam Timuran Dasya Tananjana Shalakaya Chatsurun Militam Jainam Tasmai Sigurave Namaha Panchakalpa Trupischa Kripa Sindhu Veva Chapatitanam Pavani Vyo Vaishnava Vyo Namo Namaha. So here, this is following from the next verse, how Yamaraj or Brahma or the Super Soul, here they're practically, for all practical purposes, the same thing, are able to discern the past and the future of a living entity. And this verse says, basically, that one does not know purvam and aparam. And because one is engrossed in ignorance, tamasa yukta, is ajna. There's also an example built into this of a sleeping person who identifies himself with the vyaktam, the manifest dream body. There's no relationship between the soul and the living, the soul. And the material body and mind of a living entity. This is explained in the second canto of Bhagavatam. There is no relationship except that one has become covered by the energy of Krishna and identifies with it. Just like I'm asleep and I'm dreaming. And in my dream, there is a dream body. In one sense, and I identify with the dream body, and therefore I experience whatever happens to the dream body as happening to me. So in a nightmare, when I'm suffering, some a cobra has bitten me, round around is biting me, and I'm terrified, and I think this happens to me. But then I wake up, and what? Did it happen? No. Was I really suffering? No. What is the relationship of that dream body with me? Well, it was a kind of an illusory superimposition. What's the Sanskrit for illusory superimposition? Huh?
Avyaropa or avyasa.
Yeah. Aropya.
Adyaropa,
excuse me, yeah, adyaropa. It's imposed one thing upon another. But in a way, you see, if I'm in my room and I'm in bed and I say, what is the distance between the tail of the snake that's biting me and the foot of the bed, what would you say? How many feet is it? There's no relationship in that way. It's all that kind of a delusion that is there. So one accepts this manifest dream body to be oneself, and therefore undergoes the idea of suffering and so on, or enjoying, all of which has nothing to do with its actual condition. So this is explained in the second canto. So now we also, it's a very similar way, we are like, as long as we're covered by the modes of ignorance, we are also identifying with the material body. There's no relationship to the pure soul and pure consciousness with the material body, only because we have become influenced by this illusory energy of Krishna, and by the three modes of material nature, basically the ignorant part. Even in the material world, even if one is the mode of goodness, as long as there's identification with the body, there's some strand of ignorance there. And so, one identifies with his present body. And so that way, cannot know... Now the present body we've acquired. As explained, I think, earlier here, yeah, the text 47. Just as at any moment in time, if you know the present, you can understand something about the past and the future. Like right now, I know the sun is just above the horizon, so I know a little while ago it was dark, and now it will be lighter. See, I can see the future, I can see the past, because I have some... So similarly, just by knowing this body and this mind that I have now, I can know something, I can know about my past. And I can also know, if I have, as what Prabhupada calls, Vedic knowledge, my future. So the practical instruction that we gain from this verse, that as devotees, who either... in the mode of goodness or in a transcendental position. Prabhupada talks about both positions in this purport. We should always see three lives. We should always see ourselves in the present body. We should be aware of our past, and we should be aware of our future. We don't see ourselves simply in this life. At least two. The previous, the Puravam, and the Aparam, the next body. Because this is ignorance, nasta janma smriti. We don't know. We've lost our knowledge, the remembrance of birth, how we got here, what we're doing. But simply by Vedic knowledge, how the modes of nature work, how karma works, how the laws of dharma apply, we should know. We know very clearly that if I'm suffering in this life, first of all, just the fact that I'm here in this life, there's something sinful. I did not become liberated in my last life. So I'm still here. So therefore, if as long as I have a material body, I am to some degree antagonistic to the service of Krishna. So I'm still here. I'm still in need of further reformation. Just the fact that I've taken birth is already some sign of something amiss. Then there's further that I have particular things I'm suffering from. There are two kinds of things, just klesha, just miseries of the body and the mind. But one of those things that I'm suffering from is desires to perform sinful activities. As long as that desire, sin, desire for sin is a consequence of previous sin. When you commit a sinful activity, one of the things is not only is there some punishment, but you become habituated to do it again. You become compelled, almost everybody, because it becomes, it's an addiction, and therefore depression is there. So this is how a person is suffering. Nasadu manye. It's not good. Rishabhati says that one thinks like this, that one is pramataha, insane. Pramataha means he's insane after vikarma. People are doing all the things that were to cause their misery. That's insanity. And they're like this. Because indriya pritaye, they're absolutely absorbed in satisfaction of the senses. And so they suffer. Everything they do causes future suffering. So the Prabhupada then says, it should be understood that a person who does not have Vedic knowledge always acts in ignorance of what he has done in the past, what he has done in the present, what he's doing in the present, how he will suffer in the future. He's completely in darkness. And then Prabhupada quotes, so he says two things one can understand when he's been elevated to the mode of goodness. Even if one is in the material world, if he's in the mode of goodness, a mode of goodness means a detachment from the material body and the mind. In the mode of goodness, one can at least understand, I am not the body. I mean, not just accept it as a truth, but have realized knowledge, experienced knowledge. And the consequence of that is there's some detachment from the body and the mind. You can look at yourself. You have metacognition. Not just cognition, but you also know what you know what you don't know, and you can watch your own mind thinking, and then you have, if you one learns the chapter in the Bhagavad Gita about the three modes of material nature, you can understand how everything is working. You can see it. You apply this information. And so you can't see. Then you're not afraid to say, well, you know, I must have done this sinful thing in the past, so I did something pious in the past, so now I have that. And what is my future? You can also understand how you're creating a future. Prabhupada was asked, can you tell where somebody is going? And he said, somebody is in the airport and is getting on the plane, and the plane is going to Chicago, and the ticket's for Chicago, you can pretty much assume it's going to Chicago. it's not exactly some occult thing. It's just if you know what's going on, how the world works, as is described in the Vedas, and you apply it, you can see. It becomes very, very clear. It requires detachment to see all this. So it says in the ninth chapter of the Bhagavad Gita, those who are wise can see this, how the soul is going from one body to another, but those who are ignorant say they can't see. One has this knowledge. And mode of goodness, or when he transcends the mode of goodness, and here Prabhupada quotes this famous verse from the Śrīta-śrīta Upanishad. It helps to know that this is the final verse in the Upanishad. So when it says, Tashete katita hyarta, these discussions, in other words, you've just heard presumably, or read the whole Svetashvatara Upanishad. And now it says, how do you understand it, what you've heard? The artha, the meaning, the purport of this Upanishad. It says, prakashante, those meanings, those will be revealed, shine forth to, not to anyone, but to that Mahatma who has para-bhakti, implicit devotion, Prabhupada calls it, pure devotion, supreme devotion, to the Lord, and as to the Lord, to the spiritual master, to that person. So it's not enough that you just hear the text, but one had for the meaning to be revealed, there has to be this process of bhakti to the Lord and the spiritual master. Then it will shine forth. That's how you understand the Vedas. If you just pick it up in a bookstore, in a mint or paperback, and read it, or even if you take a course in it in a university, it will not be revealed. So this illumination takes place. Then the knowledge of the Vedas, when one does this thing, approaches the spiritual master as enjoined, Devabhigat Chet Vidilin, this is the injunction. One has to approach the spiritual master, become directed by him in devotional service. Then the knowledge of the Vedas will be revealed. What does this mean, revealed? It means that you have direct experience. Not just that it's jnana, book knowledge, but vijnana, realized knowledge, experience knowledge. You will see. You will see. So that's with the count of a devotee. Then Prabhupada returns to simply a brahmana, who associates with the mode of goodness, a qualified brahmana, not merely one who has taken birth in a certain family, wears a thread, or performs certain rituals, but who actually associates with the mode of goodness. He knows past, present, and future because he sees the eyes of Shastra, consult the Vedic literature. So even if you're not a devotee, if you're just in the mode of goodness in this way, you can see these things. And then avoid those things which will cause future bondage. This is all possible when it's situated in the mode of goodness. You also have to become unattached to pious activities. Pious activities also cause future births, although they're nice births. It's still trouble. Just like Indra is always, even though he's in Swarga, he's harassed. And anyway, everywhere birth, Krishna says, from the highest planet down to the lowest. They're all places of misery, or repeated birth. From Brahma down, Brahmaloka down. So one should understand this also. In any case, one receives an inferior or superior body at the discretion of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Paramatma. Then he quotes the previous verse where the Yamadutas have described Yamaraj. Here he says he's as good as, this term Bhagavan Ajaha means he's as good as Brahma. But also in this case, everything depends upon Bhagavan or Ajah, the unborn. So here, Prabhupada seems to indicate this is Paramatma. You can read it all different ways, they're all correct. So this is where the body comes from. You were so that one should know one's past and not know the future. Otherwise, if you don't, you're an animal. That's ignorance. Just simply concerned with Indriya Priti, gratifying the senses like, where will I eat? Snuffling around, looking for food. occasion mating and going back to food and shelter and so on. Then Prabhupada mentions this book. There's even a book. I don't know if he's endorsing this, but I know devotees who do this. They go to a person who has the Bhrigu Samhita and something about, find some way he looks in the Bhrigu Samhita which can tell us about this particular person. I don't know. You have to find somebody who really knows what they're doing. But anyway, the point is there is such a technique. If you find so, you can find out more precisely what your past and your future is. Or even a good astrologer. I remember I went with Prahlad Nandaswamy to this astrologer in New Delhi. And Prahlad Nandaswamy gave him his chart. The astrologer looked at it, took down his pencil, looked up, says, "This is your last birth." He said, he's telling this chart. But then he modified it. He said, well, there's a Venus period coming up, so if you don't get through that successfully, you'll go to the higher planets. But anyway, you're coming, you won't come back here. He said, there's like a little free will, you know, that the astrologer did. Well, I'm sure he'll do okay. But even you can see. Because, it's Jata Karma, astrology also, it shows these things. So Prabhupada's point is, somehow or other, one must be enlightened about his past, present, and future. So one doesn't need an astrologer, one doesn't need a Bhrigu reading, one simply needs to look at the present with a clear mind and detachment. And so this point we should always see like this, that there, where we are, we can see where I've come from. So the point, people misunderstand this. When we suffer in this life, it's because of our past karma. So here, that's just part of the knowledge that a devotee needs to know. People sometimes interpret it, especially you dealing with Christians. They always want to see it in the context of why did God make me suffer? So if I say it's my past karma, then they will say, oh, that's like blaming the victim. That's called technically begging the question. It assumes if it is my past karma, then it means I'm not the victim. I'm the perpetrator. But the point for knowing this is just to understand ourselves. And when we see these things, I can understand that there's unfortunate characteristics in me. Either I'm suffering from something in this life, then I understand that I did something sinful in the previous life, and this is the consequence. Or I have character flaws. I have places where I'm stupid. I tend to make the same mistake over and over again, even though I do it. Why is that? What is the sinful? That's also from my past. All the subtle impressions in the mind that are there. I forgot the Sanskrit word for these impressions.
Vasanas.
Huh?
Vasanas.
Yeah, that's right. Vasanas. All these karmic impressions that are there in the subtle body. Remember, it's the subtle body that transmigrates. And then according to what's in the subtle body, the gross body. As Kapila Dev says, devotional service dissolves the subtle body of the living entity. It's easy enough to get liberated from the gross body. We do it every time we die. We shuffle off the mortal coil, but we only shuffle off one of two mortal coils. The other mortal coil is the subtle body, which you can't get rid of so easily. You because as long as there's desires, material desires to enjoy in this world, then we take birth again. Here it is in the second canto of Bhagavatam. Maharaj Pariksit had asked this this question. He was asking Shukadeva Goswami questions. And so in the eighth chapter, first questions he asked is, the transcendental spirit soul is different from the material body. Does he acquire this body accidentally? Yadvichchaya, it just happens for no reason. Or hetuna, due to some cause. Will you kindly explain this? How the spirit soul, who is actually not material, be constituted? Adatu mataha. How did it happen? And so, Sukadeva Goswami replies in the beginning of the ninth chapter. He said, it's because unless one is influenced by the energy of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Atmamayam Rite, one becomes influenced by Krishna's energy, there's no meaning. There's no artha. Nagateta artha sambandha. There's no meaning to the relationship of the pure soul and pure consciousness with the material body. Now the soul in itself is actually always pure. It actually does not ever become somehow mixed or contaminated, but somehow gets overlaid by the energy of the Lord. And then he gives the example, Swapna Drastar Ivanjasa, just like, the relationship is just like a dreamer seeing his own body working. So this is where this example comes from. Prabhupada says, Maharaj Pritchard's question as to how a living entity began his material life, although he's apart from material body and mind, is perfectly answered. Some people don't believe that, but it is. A little more. The spirit soul is distinct from the material conception of his life. But he's absorbed in such a material conception. Notice this. He's distinct from it, but yet absorbed in it. Because of being influenced by the external energy of the Lord called Atmamaya. The external energy is controlled by the Lord, and the living entities are controlled by the external energy, by the will of the Lord. So that's why it happens. It's by the will of the Lord. Therefore, although a living entity is purely conscious in its pure state, he is subordinate to the will of the Lord and being influenced by the external energy of the Lord. And then he quotes, mentions Bhagavad Gita 15:50. I am situated in everyone's heart. And it's from me they remember me, it's me they forget. Matasvati Jnanam Pohavam Chakra. So then Prabhupada goes further. The next question automatically made will be why the Lord influences the living entity through such consciousness and forgetfulness. Okay, the Lord does it. Why? Why does he do that? The answer is that the Lord clearly wishes that every living entity be in his pure consciousness as part and parcel of the Lord, and thus be engaged in the loving service of the Lord as he's constitutionally made. In other words, the Lord does not want to do this. Something happens that actually Krishna does not want. That's really the purport. He wants the living entity to be in his pure consciousness, engaged in a relationship with him. So how does this happen? But because the living entity is partially independent also, he may not be willing to serve the Lord, but may try to become as independent as the Lord is. All the non-devotee living entities are desirous of becoming equally as powerful as the Lord, although they are not fit to be so. Living entities are illusioned by the will of the Lord because they want to become like him. Like a person who thinks of becoming a king without possessing the necessary qualification, when the living entity desires to become the Lord himself, he is put in a condition of dreaming that he is a king. That is why the dream is there. He can become God, but you want to become independent. You want to say, I am the enjoyer, I am the controller, I am the Lord of all I survey. Okay. Now you can forget me. And you can take, here's this material world, which is actually not material, it's really spiritual, it's Krishna's energy, but here you can forget and play your God game. Start your own little God project. Therefore, now this is a really pregnant sentence, the first sinful will of a living entity is to become the Lord. Anyone in the material world has done this thing. As Prabhupada said something else, commenting on each advaita samutena dvanda mahena bharataha, in the Bhagavad Gita, it's the 9th chapter. Every living entity comes in the material world covered by the dvanda, the duality of icha and dvesha, desire and hate, he says in the Bhagavad Gita. So Prabhupada says somewhere that the original desire is, why can't I be God? And the original hate is, why should Krishna be God? So that's the aboriginal crime that everyone's here in the material world, which we have to do. To really get out of this place, one has to become free from ignorance. One has to go back to Krishna and says, I did this, please take me back. Please forgive me. That's what's required. And really, sincerely. If I pray to Krishna, please gratify my senses, then I'll stay here. Therefore, the first sinful will of the living entity is to become the Lord, and the consequent will of the Lord, so notice the living entity has this desire to become one with the Lord. Well, the position's taken. I can't make you God. But the consequent will of the Lord is that the living entity forgets his factual life and thus dreams of the land of utopia, a phantasmagoria, Prabhupada's understanding. But he may become one like the Lord. The child tries to have the moon from the mother. He sees the moon hanging in the sky like a big bright ball and wants it. How's the mother going to give him the moon? And the mother gives the child a mirror to satisfying the crying and disturbing child with a reflection of the moon. Similarly, the crying child of the Lord is given over to the reflection of the material world. To lord it over as a karmi, as one God project, in competitive sense gratification, to lord it over as a karmi, and to give this up in frustration, to become one with the Lord, that is to say, as a gyani. This is not working, this God project is not working in the material world. I come to the top of the, I become top dog, and then another dog comes and knocks me down, and now I have to start all over again. And don't make it, so then let me give it all up. You go to spiritual life, what do? I become God. Aham Brahmasmi, I am God. The other one. Both these stages are dreaming illusions only. Then Prabhupada says something, a widely ignored statement. There is no necessity of tracing out the history of when the living entity desired this. But the fact is that as soon as he desired it, he was put under the control of Atma Maya by the direction of the Lord. So that's what happens. That's what happens. So all this has to be rectified. One should understand why I'm here, why I'm in bondage. For a devotee, this is the ultimate. One goes to the root of the difficulty. Others don't really, who are even a bit transcendentalist, they don't come to the root, so therefore, vimukta manaha. They think theirs, and they're liberated in their own minds, but actually they haven't taken shelter of the lotus feet of the Lord, and therefore, Brahma says, they fall down again. And rise so high, parampadam tata, they get all the way up there to the Brahma Jyoti, but they come back down. So the liberation is kind of temporary liberation because we still haven't solved this problem. Okay, any questions or anything to add? Yeah?
About the dream thing?
The
dream.
Yeah.
I remember once you mentioned that when one is sleeping, the state of sleep, the soul, the subtle body goes away. And when you wake up, it comes to the material body and you get to know, okay, I'm awake now. So what consciousness is the dream happening in? In the mind state or the body state when you're sleeping?
The dream?
The dream.
Well, even if the soul is sometimes described as going away, you're still connected to the body, obviously, because if you're having a bad dream, sometimes you cry out. I've seen people laugh in their sleep, too. Babies, especially. So, you're still connected. And So however you describe it. So it's whatever happens in a dream, whatever that you can talk about that mental world that you've created, it's always described usually as imagination. Now sometimes people have dreams that are real, I have to say, but these dreams we're talking about are not. Prophetic dreams, or these are just concoctions, and you take. Prabhupada describes this, I'm sure he gets it from tradition, a gold mountain. Yeah, you see gold, you see a mountain, you put them together in your dream, and stuff like that. So it's imaginary. There's no objective correlate to that. In your dream, you believe you're being bitten by a snake. Now, people are bitten by a snake. In the real world, but you think it's happening to you. It just isn't. There's no place that you're being bitten by a snake. But the problem is that what happens in a dream is somehow or other you identify with that manifest dream body that you made. And so you experience it as happening to you, and therefore you suffer. Are you really suffering? Well, in one sense, yes, because of that identification. But as soon as you wake up and you see, and it's over, then you don't think it was, oh, I'm okay. Then that apparent suffering just seems like that, and you don't take it very seriously anymore. It's just a dream. It was a bad dream. You just brush it aside. It wasn't real. Similarly, when one wakes up from what's been called the nightmare of history, and James Joyce Ulysses is one of his heroes, goes around saying, history is a nightmare from which I'm trying to wake. When you wake up from the nightmare of history, you say, oh, it was a bad dream. One should say it like that. Because these material bodies are also not our real selves. They seem real and substantial, but they're another energy of Krishna. And when one experiences the real spiritual self and in full development, then this so-called solid reality doesn't look so solid anymore, because it's temporary. It's asat. Asat means not really there, in one sense. Just like a dream is unreal. In one sense, there is a dream, we can talk about it, but it's as a dream, it has no substance. Well, similarly, the whole material world is also. Okay, it's time to stop. Śrīla Prabhupāda ki jaya.